Before we go into our study, let's spend a few moments in prayer, and I want to give you a few requests and then see if you have any. First of all, again, there is a man named Pete, and Pete is married to a wonderful born-again believer who, and Pete is not, and she's on our tape, and I'd like you to just be in prayer for him, be in prayer that the Spirit will convict him in regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ and his need and relationship with the Lord. There is a lady named Sonia who is in great need of our prayers tonight. I won't go through her personal problems right now, but just take my word. The woman is in, has been in tears all day, and is in great need of our prayers and support. And so just be in prayer for Sonia and for for us. It can be the kind of support she needs on her tapes. And so please be in prayer for her. Okay, do you have any requests of prayer that we need to make note of? Anybody? In prayer? Yes, Jennifer?
I have an Aunt Daisy.
I have an Aunt Daisy. Go ahead. Yeah, that's very rough. How old is she?
89.
Yeah, that's what we're battling right now. My mother's 92, and that time is coming. We're going to need some assistant living like that. And so, yeah, that's a rough thing. So be in prayer for your Aunt Daisy. And the family members, because it's tough on them, too. It's very tough on the family members that are involved in that. So, yes, be in prayer. Anything else? Okay, let's approach the throne of grace. By the way, continue to be in prayer for the teenage group in Derry, New Hampshire, and their director. As I told you, New Year's Eve, they started learning to walk by faith, and pow, from when I was there in December to now, they've come under a lot of attack by wonderful Christians in the town, who like to cause trouble and jealous that this isn't related to their church, and so they're jealous of it. It's a wonderful place that these kids, a lot of them have a lot of trouble. Over half of them are not church-related, and yet they'll come on Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday night, and then they came and spent New Year's Eve there. We're talking about young people who have problems with drugs and couple of pregnancies, teenage pregnancies, and just all kinds of turmoil in their lives, and they won't go to church, and their parents don't care about them in a lot of cases, not in all, but in a lot, so they feel very comfortable in coming, and they talk to this man and his wife. He's a fireman, and they just bought this barn, and that's their ministry. These kids know they can come over there, 724, and just come in and talk. And so let's be in prayer for those kids. They're working together for me to come over and do three or four nights with them in a couple of days with the kids, and the kids want it, and I do. So be in prayer about that and see what we can work out there. And I think I told you we sent some money for their New Year's Eve festivities and getting together, and they had a wonderful night. Another couple, in fact, two other couples that are on our tape work with them. And one worked with them. The other couple drove up and just started this weekend. And he's a cop in Northampton, New Hampshire. And they asked him to say a few words and just got to know Tom to appreciate it. But, you know, hey, where was she? He's I call it Yankee Italian. Where was she? And he was, get out of here. And, but once he did start talking, he was just, the kids just sat there. He couldn't believe the way they were just paying attention. And afterward, that developed a great rapport, and they just came and started talking to him. And one kid came up and said, you know, I've been in so much trouble that I think I want to be a cop when I grow up and get old. And Tom says, great. He said, let's start working on it now. We'll talk. And he was just surprised at how when a teenager like that, they can't talk to their parents, feel that they can talk with you and have that little trust of you, they just open up because they want somebody to talk with. They just don't have anyone to talk with that they feel will shoot straight with them. And he will shoot straight. And one case that while I was there, one of the little junior highs was selling drugs out on the school ground. So Tom calls him in, and he's stationed at the police at the school and has an officer in. Said, "Okay, did you say something today on my grounds you weren't supposed to say?" The kid said, "No." Tom said, "Hey, I can be your worst enemy. I can come on you and cause you more trouble. I can be your best friend. But if you lie to me, I'll be your enemy. And you don't want me as your enemy. But if you tell me the truth, it's just between us in this room. And it doesn't go outside of this room. So, did you say anything today you shouldn't have said?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What'd you say?" He said, I asked one to buy some drugs. And Tom just said, "Hey, okay, that's not going to be done here anymore. Not on my ground. Is that clear?" He said, "Yeah." He said, they talked and kid was starting to leave. And Tom said, "By the way," said, I know you're not going to sell it on my ground anymore, but if you're caught in the city selling it, the next cop may not be so nice. I suggest you don't sell it anywhere, but that's your choice." So the kid left, and about 1 minute later came back, knocked on his door, and said, "What am I going to tell my parents when the principal calls the house?" And Tom goes, "Hey, you didn't hear me. I said, just for you and me. Principal doesn't even know you and I talk. Nobody knows you and I talk. It's over." The kid said, "Really? It's over." And he said, the kid came over, put the drugs he had on his on Tom's desk, said, "I'm selling no more." Then I walked out. And so it's been prayer for Tom, Melinda, Sharon, and John, or the other couple that live in Derry. And these kids been prayer here for Pete and Tanya. This lady's going through a tremendous night. In fact, I'll just tell you, that's why Casey isn't here. Casey's picking her up at the airport. And we flew in and spent a couple of days there and just get oriented to to God's plan and to what kind of God he really is, not what kind of God everybody else claims him to be. So be in prayer for these, and so let's spend a moment of prayer and get ready for our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the God that you are. We thank you, God, that you have revealed yourself as a compassionate, loving God, if we will see that in the Scriptures. We present before you, Heavenly Father, Pete, one for whom your Son died on the cross. We pray, Father, your Spirit will agitate his soul, that he will come to know your Son as his Savior and walk spiritually with his wife. We pray for Sonia, Father. Let us be the assembly and friends that we should be. Father, we pray for Daisy. It's very rough as people reach the age where they're close to going home with their family. Father, pray for this assembly that you will continue to allow us to come together and study. Continue to use this assembly, this humble assembly, Heavenly Father. We stand amazed at all that you have already done in the last year, this humble-sized assembly, and we pray that they just continue to work your wonders. Now, Father, as we go into our study of spiritual love, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that we ought to see, to protect us from the powers of darkness, that we seek to intrude on this, that we might see and understand the things that you would have us to see and understand. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's open the Scriptures, if you will, first of all, to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I have a great dilemma in my soul because we're starting a series which I think is going to be probably one of the most important series that we have done in dealing with why Christians suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression. We have a multitude of things to study in that, and why Christians suffer from stress and become anxious in life and suffer from depression, and how you do not have to, without drugs and without getting everything going your way. Now the problem comes that I have as to when will we teach this, when will we study it. I consider what we're doing on Wednesday night the most important thing that I teach, and that is loving as Christ loves our spiritual life. And stress, anxiety, and depression, being who you are in Christ, is directly related with spiritual love, loving as Christ loves, and the power of the Spirit. So we will start next Wednesday evening studying stress, anxiety, and depression, or being who you are in Christ. Tuesday night we will continue the book of Revelation. I would like to drop Revelation for a while, but a lot of you seem very interested in it. You have to put up extra tables and all these kind of things. So I feel compelled to teach what you want to hear. So we'll do Revelation on Tuesday night. We'll do stress, anxiety, and depression, or being who you are in Christ, on Wednesday evening, and continue the Gospel of John on Sunday morning. I do not like putting this on hold. I would like to just add another night, but that's really unfair to a small assembly to do that. And so we will continue with the current number for right now. Probably will add one more class. And it'll just be not that any of the others are not voluntary, but what I mean is just going to be if you want to come. James and I are just going to start coming up probably on a Thursday night, we don't know. And just sit down and pick a book and just work our way through the book. I'll do no preparation. And so we'll not answer all the questions. And we'll just go at it and see what's in the books. And because there's a lot of books we won't get to if we don't do something like that. So we'll start doing that, and James and I will let you know when we're going to do it, and you're invited to join us. We'll invite them. Then come. Okay. And it won't be this format where I'm up here. We're just going to sit around, and I'm going to sit, and we'll just talk and work our way through each chapter and work our way through books and see how they all fit together for everything that God is doing, both Old Testament books and New Testament books. And so we will do that. Now, that means then what I'd like to do tonight is to pull together the impact of love that we are studying. So verse 4 of chapter 13, it says that love is long-suffering. Now, remember that the subject matter is love, spiritual love. Not love that man manufactures, but the love that the God, the Holy Spirit, pours into our soul. Love is the subject. You and I are not long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. So if we want this aspect coming through our lives, what we have to do is be in the power of the Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if you want long-suffering in your life, and you want this love, you don't work on that. It isn't a matter of working on that. What it is a matter of is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to pour, and that's a word out of Romans, to pour spiritual love in you. And when spiritual love is poured in you, then the impacts, 16 in this chapter, but there are many, many more impacts of love. But 16 in this chapter alone start occurring in your soul and in your life. Love is long-suffering. Now, we call it that's inside of you. That's inside. That means that things can happen in your life, and you're able to keep moving at your intensity of love toward that person that's hurting you without diminishing the love. Then it says, love is kind. Now, that is what the world sees. If love is not long-suffering first, it will not be kind. Long-suffering is the quality of the impact of love that happens inside of your soul. No one can see the long-suffering of love. No one can see that. But what they can see now is if I'm going to be long-suffering toward this other believer who's hurting me, sinful, wrong, whatever we want to call it, if I'm not going to react and punch them in the nose or walk away or seek revenge, then what are they going to get? Well, it says love is kind. And kindness is going to draw them back to the relationship with the Lord and the Spirit of their life. Then it says, love is not jealous. And that's where we are right now. Love envieth not. Remember, again, the subject is love, and also each one of these impacts are verbs. They don't sound like verbs. Love is long-suffering, love is kind, love is not jealous. Not jealous. That's a verb. It's action. This is the action of God's love. God's love is not jealous. And we're going to pull that together, but since we won't be here for a while, every now and then I may jump it in on a Wednesday night, but let's just read the list and then get back and pull together love is not jealous tonight, so next week we can continue in our series that we started New Year's Eve. Now, verse 4, love is long-suffering, love is kind. And by the way, then, love is not jealous. Where is that? That's inside your soul. No one can see that. But they will see the next part. Love does not brag, does not boast. Then the next one, love is not arrogant. That's on the inside. You can't see that. But because love is not arrogant, love does not act unbecoming. We'll have to study what unbecoming means, but that's the overt thing that people will see. If love is not arrogant, love will not act unbecoming. Arrogance means I want everything to go my way, and I'm going to control my husband, I'm going to control my wife, I'm going to control circumstances to where everything comes my way. No, love is not arrogant. And since love is not arrogant, then that doesn't have to occur. A lot of times people love, and they think that love is for their advantage. I love you, so you're supposed to roll over and do everything I want you to do. How could you do that to me since I love you? We make a very big deal out of our love. I love you. How could you do this to me? Well, that's the arrogance of love. Spiritual love is not arrogant. It is not arrogant. Okay, let's continue on. Since it's not arrogant, it does not act unbecoming. God cares about how love acts. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Wow. A love that is not provoked. Is that even possible? Yes, if it's God's love. And we have so many things to understand about God in just studying this love. Because a lot of times Christians think they can provoke God. Can't provoke God. But we'll learn about all that as we go through it. So love is not provoked. Love does not take into account when wronged. Wow. Well, if you're going to treat me that way, I don't love you anymore. If you don't love me, I don't love you. That's the way human love works, but not spiritual love. It does not take into account when wronged. Verse 6, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now, several things here. First of all, it says that love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it does not say that love judges, maligns, attacks, slanders those who are unrighteous. It says that it itself does not enjoy or rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. And we'll have to study what in the truth with means to rejoice with the truth. Verse 7, bears all things. That's powerful. This is why people, you do not build a marriage. A lot of counselors and a lot of people today say the one ingredient that you have to build a marriage on that must be there must be trust. They must be able to trust one another. Let's examine that, as noble as that sounds. Let's examine that in the Bible. First of all, I ask people, preachers, show me that in the Bible. First of all, that's my first thing. I want you to show me where a married husband toward wife, wife toward husband, is built on trust. You can't do it. No human relationship. In fact, I can show you a verse that says, cursed is man who trusteth in man. Why? If we're not going to build a relationship on trust, then what are we going to build it on? Well, what the Bible says is building on what God has given to us that is much stronger in a human relationship than trust, and that is spiritual love, to love one another as Christ has loved you. Let's talk for very quickly for a moment. Won't be here probably for a while, even though it will come up in depression and stress and anxiety, because this is why a lot of people are under stress, is because they build a marriage on trust. What happens when you build a marriage on trust, or any relationship, any human relationship on trust? People, you set yourself up for stress, anxiety, and depression. You set yourself up to be hurt. I trust you. You let me down. Woe is me. And so often then these people need to go for psychiatrists, psychologists, or counselors, self-pity, have all the Christians pity them, and they feel sorry for them, all of this type of thing. People, you build any human relationship on trust, you have to listen now, you have turned over to the other person your strength. You have given them your strength. And if they let you down, you're hurt. Now think about this. But think about this in the spiritual realm. Who is the only one who is trustworthy? God. So here you are, and you and I trust God. Think about it. Why do we do that? We do that because we are weak. We need Him. That's why we trust Him. The first thing about trust is weakness. I trust you. I can't save myself. I trust you. I can't handle this without you. Whatever, any and all faith is built on the first beginning fact is the weakness of the one who believes. I have to trust you. I use eternal salvation as an example. I can't save myself. I cannot be good enough, give you enough, do enough. So I trust you. And God is the only one who is trustworthy. What happens to us if God is not trustworthy? Well, people, I don't know about you, but I'm going to live in a bottle the rest of my life because I have no hope. If He's not trustworthy, I fall apart. And that's what happens if you build a human relationship on trust and the other person lets you down. This does not condone living in a realm of no trust. Doesn't condone that. I see. Come on in. Next to Priscilla, you want to, right here, clean down, there you go. That one up here. Okay. So if you build a relationship on trust, then what happens? That you're turned over to that person, your strength, like we do God. God is my strength. And if I can't trust God, then what happens? We fall apart. Just think in your mind, if you can envision, what happens if I can truly not trust God? From salvation to everything in life, it's over. Hang it up. Our life is over. He is the only one who is trustworthy. So, now, if I build a human relationship on spiritual love, here's spiritual love, that is love that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, then look at all the things that love does. It's long-suffering. It's kind. It doesn't brag. And look what it says here. It bears all things. People, that's powerful. Let me ask you a question. Can trust bear all things? By definition, no. The moment trust is broken, then it's over. It can't bear the breakdown of trust by definition. By the very understanding of words, if trust is broken, then it's over, because trust cannot bear the breakdown of trust. It's over. But look at love. Spiritual love can bear, and watch this, it can even bear when the other person doesn't love. It can even bear when the other person hurts you. Love can do that. God's love, spiritual love can do that. It can bear all things, even the breakdown of love. So that's a powerful one that God has given to us. Bears all things. Believes all things. We'll have to see what that means. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Well, we can understand that one. If we're living by spiritual love, we endure all things. Is that possible? What? Spiritual love called Jesus Christ to be able to endure the cross. We've seen it in the scriptures. It is spiritual love that caused him to be able to endure the suffering of the cross. So, it endures all things. Then in verse 8, what Paul does here is, he does it a lot of times and with a lot of lists. In case I missed anything, in case you in your philosophy or theology class come up with something, I want to say this. Spiritual love, it never fails. Why? And you have to make up your mind if you believe that. Some Christians don't believe that. They think it's righteousness. But the scriptures do not say that. They say it's love. Love never fails. Okay. We've got a long journey to go. But right now, tonight what I want to do is just finish up our study on love endeth not, or love is not jealous. Spiritual love is not jealous. And we have spent some time here, and we can pull it together tonight. We have looked at Roman number 1, the nature of jealousy, the nature of jealousy as to why spiritual love repulses it, why spiritual love will not allow it. Roman number 2, we look just at the phrase, spiritual love is not jealous. And we look at, we're in the midst of closing that one out. Now, under the nature of jealousy and envy that causes spiritual love not to be, we notice several things. A, in reference to what others have, spiritual love is not jealous. In other words, God is allowed here to bless other believers, and it isn't going to interrupt your spiritual life. He can allow others to prosper in whatever ways of prosperity that is important. It may be money, it may be marriage, it may be health, it may be children, it may be anything. But it isn't going to disrupt your spiritual life. Remember what jealousy, in the nature of why spiritual love is not jealous. Remember what jealousy, always remember what jealousy is. What is jealousy? Well, it's a sin. Okay, it's a sin, but I want us to understand it better than that. I want you to understand what's going on so that when you are jealous, remember we saw how, well, you can just be walking along and all of a sudden, ka-pow! Jealousy shoots right through you. You're driving to church, everything is great. Even listening to gospel music. You're saying, it couldn't be better. Driving into the church, still great. Get all your cars straight. Great to be here, wonderful to be here. Open that door and you see somebody and kapow. Jealousy sits right through you. It's that quick. It is that quick. What is it? What is the nature of jealousy? The spiritual love will not allow it. Okay. Jealousy is the immune system for your flesh self. It is the immune system for your flesh self. So that, just to make a quick little example, you're standing around a church in the office, fellowship, or your social life, and somebody comes up to somebody near you and says, well, you still look nice tonight. Hey, what about me? Do I look like sliced liver? I look pretty good tonight. What's happening to you? Jealousy. Yourself feels threatened. And it comes to the front and says, wait a minute, protect yourself. What about you? It's the immune system. Anytime your flesh self feels threatened, jealousy is going to come in and say, hey, wait a minute. What about me? It's protecting your flesh self. Yes, it's a sin, but understand what's going on. It lets you know, one, I'm in the front. The very fact I'm jealous about what that person has or what's going on, I'm envious, jealous, I'm in the flesh. Because spiritual love is not that. So it's a flesh. Nobody needs to tell me when I am or am not in the filling of the Spirit. And one of the reasons is, it's the immune system. It's immediate. It just functions automatically. Just boom. That's one of the characteristics of the immune system. It's designed to protect the flesh cells. Now, this person, and we saw this New Year's Eve, this person is dead. He was crucified with Christ. Spiritual love is not jealous. Why? Because spiritual love is related to the new man. Spiritual love is related to the new spiritual creature that you are. It's related to who you are in Jesus Christ. So therefore, it's not going to be jealous. So we saw under A, in reference to what others had. Then B, we studied the definition and description of jealousy. Looked at the Greek, some of the Hebrew. C, we looked at the source of jealousy, the immune system of the self. The nature of jealousy to rival. We saw this an important study in James 3. We saw then and D, the source and nature of spiritual love. And the source of spiritual love, now, the source of jealousy or envy is the flesh self. The source of spiritual love, God, the Holy Spirit. And how you and I get this love, it's the fruit of the Spirit, is simply trust Him to do what He was sent here to do for us. Then we study the nature of spiritual love. And the nature of spiritual love is not to have rivalry. It's not in any kind of competition. When spiritual love is there, you're not in any competition. With your husband, your wife, with other people, other preachers in my case, anybody. When there's spiritual love, there is no rivalry. No competition. Then we looked at under E, spiritual love recognizes jealousy and envy. Recognizes inequalities. While spiritual love does not. And we spend some time here. Spiritual jealousy, envy recognizes inequalities. Jealousy recognizes inequalities in a lot of things. Looks, money, prosperity, prestige, authority, success, power, numbers in a church, a lot of things. It's the nature of jealousy to recognize inequalities and want to make everything where that isn't going to exist, know that you are on the top. Spiritual love does not recognize inequality, but sees in the reality of who we are in Christ. Then F, the syndrome of jealousy or a life without spiritual love. And we spent a lot of time there. What does your life look like if there is no spiritual love and jealousy resides? And then we close that section with the environment of jealousy. What the world sees when they see jealousy. What others see. What your husband sees, what your wife sees, what others see, what angels. Remember, angels are watching. What angels see. As opposed to what they see when there is spiritual love. Then we look under two. Spiritual love is not jealous. And here we look at spiritual love in reference to self, spiritual love in reference to others. And that's where we are in our study, spiritual love and its reference with others. Now, we have covered a few points, so let me get those, and then we're going to pull this together, and that will be our complete study of love is not jealous. And then next week we can go right into the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, which means we're going to have to come back to aspects of spiritual love all the way through. Because where spiritual love is, there will not be the stress, the anxiety, and the depression. It comes from our flesh nature. Okay. First of all, spiritual love is not jealous because spiritual love is not threatened by the prosperity of others. Here we're dealing with spiritual love and others. Why spiritual love is not jealous in reference to others? Spiritual love is not jealous because spiritual love is not threatened by the prosperity of others. It is not threatened by the blessings of others. It is not jealous of what others have. Even if they're evil people. What that means, and I'm going to put the word evil in quotes, bad people. It takes some people just to make my point. We know this guy is a drug dealer. and he drives around in 3 or 4 fancy cars, beautiful homes, all the rest of it, and we look at that. Well, why, Lord, does that horrible person have all of that, and my car will hardly make it to work? Why, God? What's going on here? Spiritual love will not allow that. Will not allow that kind of thinking, that kind of thought process in our souls. So, and how does this work? We know that the spiritual love recognizes who you really are in Christ. It recognizes the real you. Spiritual love is not jealous because spiritual love is not threatened by what others have, nor is it any threat to others. So we spent some time on all of that. Let's move into major point two of this point. Secondly, first of all, spiritual love is not jealous because spiritual love is not threatened by the prosperity of others. Secondly, spiritual love is not jealous because of how it loves. How does spiritual love love? It's an interesting question, interesting way to word it. How, you know, we can ask these same types of questions in the human realm. How does my husband love? How does my wife love? And be very careful to do this to yourself, because you can look. How am I perceived by my wife, my husband, by others, how I love? Well, how did Jesus Christ love? Because the love of the Holy Spirit is the same love he poured in Jesus Christ. The new commandment which got us into all of this, love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine. So how does Jesus Christ love, or how does spiritual love love? Okay, first of all, spiritual love loves sacrificially to self. Sacrificially to self. This is antithetical to human love. Human love says what? Human love says, I'm loving and I ought to get something out of it. I love you, therefore you ought to do for me. Now, Jesus Christ loves sacrificial to self. That's what the cross is about. That's what his life is about. That's what our life is about. Sacrificial to self, and then the other part, beneficial to others. Beneficial to others, and often, making the point, often to our enemies, to those who hurt us. Not just at that point be your husband and wife, but spiritual love loves sacrificially to self for the benefit of others. That's what the cross is. He died sacrificially for our benefit, not his own, for our benefit. So it's a very powerful understanding of how spiritual love loves. Loves sacrificially to self for the benefit of others. Now, what I want to do next, and in the closing moments we have, let's pull all of this to summary, and then we'll close, and the next one, now we will study when we come back this way, where we can go right into love is not brag. Love is not boastful. And that's very important, and because boasting is all the way through the Bible. And for an example, we are not to boast. If we boast at all, we boast in Christ. If we boast at all, we boast of our weaknesses, because our weaknesses causes us to be dependent upon Him. Boasting is a very important part of the spiritual warfare. In fact, I've already showed you how each of these are part of the spiritual warfare. We didn't do that tonight. But all of these things are related to the spiritual warfare. Who is jealous? Satan was jealous. As Lucifer, he became jealous of God's status with all of the angels. And he declared, I am. He boasts. So, and he was arrogant. All of these that we studied, we can go back and study from the spiritual warfare aspect and how they are deprived in Satan, not there in Satan. And therefore, because they were absent, we have the spiritual warfare. Because of this was absent in him, and those indications were there. Okay, in summary, point one. Love is not jealous. Love creates an environment in your soul and in your life. Spiritual love creates an environment first in your soul and in your life the absence of jealousy. Jealousy and envy are so destructive to a person's soul. A person who is jealous, their soul is burning. There's things going on inside. They can't enjoy anything. They cannot enjoy because they are jealous. They're envious. And no matter what happens in their own life, inside of them, there is an environment created that they can't even enjoy anything nice that in their own life. It is a destructive element. Jealousy creates an environment in your soul. Jealousy creates an environment in your life. In your marriage, in your single life, at work, every part of your life, it creates an environment inside of you and then outside of you. Jealousy will destroy your spiritual life, your relationship with God. Jealousy hurts others. Not only does it destroy you, it hurts others. It can ruin you. Jealousy only creates an environment wherever you go. Jealousy simply wants to hurt the person or persons it's jealous of. On the other hand, love is not jealous. And therefore, it creates an environment in your soul that, as we're going to see, causes you to be free of stress, free of depression about what others have and what you don't have. Spiritual love allows you, or causes you, actually, be a better way to word it, causes you to be content with who and what you are in Christ. The jealousy arises because we're not content. We're not content. And I know that may sound pretty tough, but whenever jealousy enters you, you can chalk it up. You're not content. You're not content with what God has given you. You're not content with who and what you are in Christ. And therefore, you are jealous. You're not content with your husband, your wife, your children, your home, your life in Christ. And therefore, since you're not content, you're jealous. It's an indication of it. Spiritual love creates an environment where we're totally content with who we are in Christ. It's okay. Everything that I have and what I am in Christ, spiritual love allows you to be content with. Point two, the pattern of jealousy. Jealousy rises from within. It starts with an identification of self. It always, jealousy always looks at everything from the standpoint of me. Me. Jealousy rises from a sense of feeling threatened. Somebody's going to get something, or somebody has something I don't. Whenever self senses that others are dancing or getting something or hears somebody else praise, maybe just nothing more than that, jealousy rises to the defense. Jealousy creates a painful and resentful awareness of the advantage of others inside of your soul. Creates a painful resentment, a resentful awareness of the advantages of others, and a strong inner resentment both in regard to what others have and what you do not have. It attacks on all levels. You're jealous of what they have, you resent what you do not have. They have what I want. And so, jealousy will not allow you to be content with who you are in Christ. Jealousy is an intolerance. It's an intolerance of the prosperity of others. Jealousy then often has to go to work to protect self. And what do I mean by that? It's got to hurt others. It's got to judge them, malign them, lie about them, slander them, little snide remarks. Well, they're not so great. Let me tell you what I know. They're okay, but you know, the Christians are the cruelest people on the planet Earth, but they're not in the spirit. They're the cruelest people. They're even more cruel than a newspaper reporter. I relate Christians and newspaper reporters as on an even par. A newspaper reporter cannot write an article without bringing up your dad. I don't care what they're going to write. It could be the most wonderful article after all these years about Richard Nixon. But you can bet the reporter is going to talk about how he was impeached. No matter what, how wonderful what they're writing about. They could be writing an article to make my silly point just on how he always was the best he was ever made. Oh, but he was impeached. He was no better out. No matter what what Christians are. What jealousy will do. You can't stand it, so you've always got to be able to just run them down. You've got to attack. Flesh has got to attack, and it's ever, often so stutter. You've got to listen to Christians because they're stutter. They're vicious. I've had a person just come up in my face and say, "You're a dirty rat." Then they just walk around, it's okay, but let me tell you what I know. Let me tell you, he's not bad. I saw this, I know that. Whatever it is. The way jealousy works. It's a vicious enemy, people, and it's inside of our very souls. Jealousy creates an environment in your home, in your marriage, in your life that will totally disrupt and destroy your spiritual life. Now, point three. What is more powerful than jealousy? Spiritual love. Spiritual love is more powerful than jealousy. Because spiritual love will not allow jealousy to enter. If you find jealousy is a part of the profile problem of your life habitually, or it just comes up every now and then, how am I going to not be jealous? Well, I'm going to work real hard at it. I'm going to think through it. I'm going to think nice thoughts. People, that's like putting a spray and not getting rid of the bad odor. You haven't gotten rid of the bad odor. What you want to do is just get rid of it. So what we do, therefore, is to get back into the power of the Spirit and allow Him to pour in spiritual love. So that which is more powerful than jealousy is not Bible doctrine. It is not thinking good thoughts. It is not some great striving of man. People, the Scriptures tell us. That's why we study the Word. We study the Word not to make the Word our God, but to see what does the Word say. What does the Word say is more powerful than jealousy? Spiritual love. That's what the Bible teaches us. So if you do not want jealousy, what do you want? You want spiritual love flowing through. Four, spiritual love and self. Spiritual love recognizes the real you. It recognizes who you really are. Remember that the old self died. The old self died at the cross. It was crucified with Christ. The old self is dead. The real you is who you are in Christ. Spiritual love recognizes the real you. Now that, then spiritual love is content with who you are in Christ. Totally content. Sometimes all Christians say, I don't know about all of this stuff about rewards in heaven. I'm not sure that's such a great thing. Heaven's a place, and if you have all this inequality in heaven, and some believers are here, and some believers are bad, and some believers, that's not going to be fair. Okay. People, don't attack the reward system. Let's back up and look at our thinking. If you can imagine and see and experience, and you will, that even in this life, that someone even close to you can be really blessed and it not bother you. Not bother you spiritually. You're totally content. You're happy for them. That's great. Then can you not imagine to an infinity level that when we do not have the sin nature, we do not have the flesh nature, you're in a resurrected body, and the Holy Spirit is constant inside, can you then imagine that for all eternity, that jealousy is not even in the realm of conversation? And I think you can see that if you can experience it just a little bit in the flesh here. When you walk in the Spirit in the flesh and you can see these things, somebody has more money, somebody's more prosperous, somebody has better children, somebody's better looking, somebody's this, somebody's that, doesn't bother you at all. Yet some other preacher has 5,000 people, even on Wednesday night. If you're in the Spirit, doesn't bother you. If you're not in the Spirit, what am I doing? Wasting my time, da 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 da. But if you're in the Spirit, doesn't even trouble you. If we can see that now, then you can understand why in heaven all these rewards and all this, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. There are a few of us, not about any of you in this room, but there are a few of us, we're just going to be glad to be there. Anything else is, you know, icing on the cake. And I say that in humor to make my point that it's a place that there'll be no, even the possibility of jealousy. So, the point four, spiritual love and self, it recognizes the real you. Spiritual love is totally content and allows you to be content with being what you are in Christ. Five, spiritual love is not jealous because of the values of spiritual love. What are the values of spiritual love? People, love has values. Has values. Human love has values. Spiritual love has values. So because of the values of spiritual love, and what are the values of spiritual love? We saw it in New Year's Eve. What are the values of spiritual love? Those things that are eternal. Those things that are eternal. Those things that are related to above, not below. When you're living in the realm of below, earth, on earth, you're going to experience jealousy. If you live in the realm of eternity, and those things that are above, how in the world can you get jealous of somebody else's house related to the earth if you're living in the realm of eternity? You don't. Impossible. How can you get jealous of somebody's prosperity on planet Earth if you're living in the realm of above? So the values of spiritual love are those things that are eternal, those things that are above, those things that are spiritual. And that's why spiritual love is so desired in our life, make our life so wonderful. Point six, spiritual love and others. Spiritual love recognizes the inequalities in life and is not threatened by them. Spiritual love allows others to be prospered by God or by Satan without disrupting your spiritual life. Seven, spiritual love does not allow jealousy because it is content with who you are in Jesus Christ. And the next thing we'll look at is love does not brag. The other side of the coin. One side of the coin, it is not jealous. That's on the inside. The other side, it does not brag. It doesn't even brag about itself. Look how I love you. Look how wonderful I am. Look how wonderful my love for you is. It will not do that. Love will not boast. Love will not brag. Why? It doesn't have to. It stands on its own. Any questions as we close out? Love is not jealous. Okay, closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Scriptures. There's so many things that we deal with in the flesh, Father, that disrupt and cause divorces in life, cause so much hurt, so many hours of tears, anger, bitterness, self-pity, and how simple is your solution to just trust the Spirit, allowing the poor in spiritual love, and then love goes to work. It is love that is not jealous, and therefore we will not be jealous. Father, we praise you. What kind of God you are that you have given to us your very love. You give to us and our souls, as mortals, your love to the Spirit. And all the things that it does in our soul and in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, every part of our being. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.